chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 1, Galatians chapter 6. The Lord really wants to meet some needs today. And He does anytime we come to Him. But I think in particular this day is real important. It's just a message that I believe will lift everyone's spirits and help us to lift somebody else's spirits. We start in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, the previous chapter talked about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, gentleness, meekness, temperance. So that is the filling of the Spirit. That is the fruit of the Spirit. And what God is saying here, He's going to give us some instruction, but He's giving instruction to spiritual people because spiritual people can help on other people. So read it again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Interesting portion of scripture. Everybody here has to bear their own burden, but we're also told to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's ask God to help us today. Lord, use us for your glory today. Lord, all the things that have happened this past week, the burdens that we carry, maybe even the fears of the future, I pray that you would minister to us. What time we're afraid, we will trust in you. And Lord, help us to not only receive strength and help and guidance and wisdom from you, but help us to share that with others. Bless your word now. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. A burden is that which is borne with labor and difficulty. It's not something that's easy. That which is grievous, wearisome, oppressive. In Isaiah chapter 38, verse 14, the writer said, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Because he knew where to go to get that help from the Lord. If you burden somebody, if it's a verb, and some people burden you and some people help take your burdens. Amen? I don't know if you've ever met anybody that burdened you. Probably not. But you've probably read about it somewhere. But to burden is to load, to lay on a heavy load, to encumber with weight. Sometimes we do that in our conversation, you know, and we put something on somebody that maybe they cannot carry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, this flesh, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We are burdened in this life, but there is a new life coming. Amen? We're going to have a body with no sickness, no sorrow, no sin. And that's all ahead for believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, the Bible says, So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. That the burden is gone then. Amen? Absent from the body, present with the Lord, there is no burden any longer. In the service of our Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this is about the Macedonian believers. And the Bible says, For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. And so when everybody does their part, one person isn't carrying the load. All of the burden isn't resting on one person. Amen? And we're told to carry our own burdens, but sometimes we're too weak for that. And we'll see that when we go through the scriptures. We need help to carry our burden, or the Lord would not say, bear one another's burdens, or he would not say, I will help you if you're oppressed, or he will not say, I will strengthen thee in a time of need, amen? Because we all come to those times. I do the best I can to carry my own burdens, but I cannot carry them all. And so I have friends, I have loved ones, amen, and I have my Lord and his word. and he helps and sustains. And I think that's important for all of us. But again, it says, not that others would be burdened and you would be eased. We need to take our part. And everybody does that. Every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear one another's burdens. But it says, ye who are spiritual. So this is a message for people that want to honor the Lord. We're to pray in the Spirit. These are Bible verses. Sing in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. I said pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. I said that again. Should I say it again? No. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All of these things we have to do in a spiritual sense because that makes them profitable. Fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill means to complete. It means to perform. It means to accomplish. So God is saying, if you bear one another's burdens, you will fulfill the law of Christ. I'm interested in that. Amen? I mean, the Lord's done so much for me, and he uses other people in my life that want to do that, and it encourages me that fulfill the law of Christ. In James chapter 2 and verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye shall do well. So it interprets what it's talking about. Carrying a burden is loving somebody. Carrying a burden is love in action, where it does help somebody and it sees the need. I think that's a good thing. The greatest commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That fits with this teaching. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything depends on that. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Amen. We love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the verses are endless about that. John 13, 34. This is what Jesus said. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye shall also love one another. As God has loved us, we are to love others. John 13, 34. I'm sorry, 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. I know I'm saying the same principle over and over, but God does this. He says it over and over and over, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here's a principle here, and you'll find it over here in this book. And he brings it all together because he wants to really work this into our mind and our heart. It's an important thing. John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, again, if you have love one to another. 1 Peter 3, 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That is good advice. Well, how are you going to love everybody? I mean, the love in the Bible is not just emotion. Amen? It's not that feathery, fly, you know, desire, emotion. But it is care for one another. It is interest in one another. It's helping one another. The Bible even says, love your enemies. And so you don't have the warm fuzzies for your enemies, right? I mean, you just don't. But God, when God put his Son on the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. His Son, Jesus Christ, was paying for our sins on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen? And so that is the love of God being manifested. If a man thinketh to be something, think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's in our text that we read. When he thinks he's something, but he's nothing, he deceives himself. And you go back to 1 Corinthians 13, you can read that later, but that's the chapter on charity, which is love in action. And though I give my body to be burned, though I give all that I possess, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And it says in another way, but it says, I am nothing in that chapter. So when a man thinks he's something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So if there's no charity, no care for somebody else, no love for them, no desire to be a burden bearer with them, then we're nothing, because that's what God has called us to do. I can give all my goods to feed the poor. I can give my body to be burned. though I have all knowledge, though I do this, though I am so smart, I know the Bible, but if you don't share it, amen, if you don't care somebody else's needs, you are nothing. Somebody said years ago, unless this is my, maybe I thought this up, maybe I'm the originator of this statement, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. You remember that? You remember that? And there ain't nothing like the real thing. I won't say baby, but there is nothing like the real thing. And the real Christian life, I mean, what is it? It's God living in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus Christ. It's His Spirit. And we're filled with the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things. But it spreads. And so my cup runs over. And I'm strengthened with might in the inner man. That's what God says is for me. And that manifests itself as care and concern for other people. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. Amen? I don't want to see anybody's life wrecked by sin. I want to help carry burdens. In this assembly, we have people that everybody here has a burden. And we may not know, but everybody here has a burden. And I think the message will help all of us. I think it's so important to carry your own burden, but then to cast off the weights that easily beset you. Let me read the verse. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside the weights, because they're heavy, and they keep us from running the race. And there's all kinds of things in that context. There are things that weigh you down. Amen? And if you're a negative thinker, boy, we talked about that last week, and the locusts just coming in and eating all the crop, all the blessings, the fruit of the Spirit. They just come in, and they're evil thoughts. And so we're to be careful about evil surmisings and evil thinking, because you can do that. You ever get something and it's happening and you think the worst rather than the best? You know, or you think the worst of some person. Well, they didn't shake my hand. I wonder why they didn't shake my hand. Oh, they're probably mad at me. Well, that's so petty. That's childish for them to be mad at. And then you just start working this thing up, and pretty soon you can't stand the person. And all they did, maybe they had a burden. Maybe they were carrying a heartache. Amen? And they were just out in la-la land. They just weren't even paying any attention to you. Well, that's my point. They weren't paying attention to me. And right away, I mean, they're down you go. So you got to be careful about the things that weigh you down. Somebody says, give me a hand. Pick me up. Amen? Encourage me. All over, they might not say it with their words, but that's what people desire. They desire somebody to love them, be safe, care for them, be interested in them. Amen? Meet a need. Nobody here is perfect. Everybody here sins. I sinned one time back in 1980, I think it was. But we're all in the same boat. The Christian life is all about others, saving people, helping people, praying for people, and I think that's really, really important. There's a fellow by the name of Ron Hamilton, and he wrote or put together all of these stories for children, and he was called Patch the Pirate. I don't know if anybody ever heard of him, but he had one about King Island, and he was a king, and he lived on Island. And his, it was a sailor movie, and they had sailfish that were jumping, and all of this. But anything, everything was focused on him. And we can't live like that, folks. We have to focus on other people. If it was just about us, that's a heartache. In 2 Chronicles, well, turn back there, 2 Chronicles. You know where that's at, 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you say, that doesn't help. There's an index in the front of your Bible. You can go there. Bring your Bible to church so you can read 2 Chronicles chapter 10, and we will read the first 11 verses. Solomon has died, and his son is going to be king. And there's a man, well, I'll just read the story. Verse 1 of 2 Kings 10. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel come to make him, to Shechem, where all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. It's 2 Chronicles 10 and verse 3 now. So they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father, speaking of Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke, and he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days, and the people departed. I think it's wise sometimes when you have an important decision to take a few days to think about it. And that's what he was doing. It seemed wise. He's going to get counsel and he's going to pray about this. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel will ye give me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, and stood before him. There is many, many times wisdom with age. Not always, but many, many times there is wisdom with age. In verse 9, and he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to these people which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that they spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. That thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and the king bade, saying, Come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly, and the king Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and answered them after the advice of the young men, My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And if you read the rest of the chapter, which we won't, you're going to find out that didn't turn out too good. There is something about being concerned about the load that somebody else is carrying, and we don't want to put more of a load on them. We want to take the load off of them. Amen. We'll see this principle over and over in the scriptures. Take your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 11. Back a little bit. Numbers chapter 11. And we'll read a few verses here in Numbers chapter 11. I know it's a lot of Bible reading, but it's okay. Amen. This is a Bible church. Amen. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. The people of Israel, they came out of Egyptian bondage, and Moses never could satisfy them. God never could satisfy them. They're always murmuring and complaining. Hasn't God been good to us? He's been very, very good to us. But it says in verse 1, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? There's a wrong input here. That's the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. They weren't the children of Israel. This is a mixed multitude. And what they were saying stirred up the fire. In verse 5, We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and onions, and garlics. How could they say they they came out of Egypt. It was called the iron furnace. They were beaten. They were under bondage there. And they remembered the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the cucumbers. They're remembering, I don't like cucumbers anyway. But they're remembering something that is positive, and they forgot the negative. We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely. Verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and color thereof is the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. God is just supplying their need. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Moses is complaining to God. Man, this is supposed to be good. We're released. You're taking care of our needs. And all of these people are murmuring and complaining. He says, he said to God, why are you doing that to me? In verse 12, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land that thou swearest unto thy fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Boy, that's quite a statement. I can't do this, Lord. This is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. That's the point he came to. He says, just take my life, like Elijah did that one time. Lord, just take my life. I can't bear the burden. Sometime we get there. Amen? Sometime we get there. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. The rest of the chapter is amazing, but Moses said, I can't do any more. And so God made provision, didn't he? He says, take 70 men. They will bear the burden with you. And so when we come to the Lord, Lord, might as well be honest. Amen. Lord, I just can't do this. God, I need your help. And he will use people. We are his instruments. Amen? It's not just some fire coming down from heaven. It's us. And he speaks to our hearts. Ye which are spiritual, I'm listening for the voice of the Spirit. He connects us. Amen? Every day you'll be connected with somebody that has a burden. Yeah, we went to a restaurant and the waitress really didn't take care of us. She was ouchy. She was irritated. You don't know what she's going through. Amen? Leave her the bigger tip than the one that had the smile. Say, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does in a spiritual sense. Amen? There's two men fighting with David on his side, Joab and Abishai. They're fighting the Syrians. And here's what Joab says to his brother Abishai, 2 Samuel 10:11. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. And if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. That's it. That's the Christian life. If I have some strength, I've borne my own burdens. I'm trying to help somebody else bear their burdens because they can't carry them by themselves. They need somebody else to help them. Amen? And you can switch that because it goes both ways. And our lives are filled with that. You ever have a good day? Ever? Anybody have a good day? Okay, you had a good day. You ever have a bad day? They're different. Amen? They are different days. And some days you, I mean, the thoughts can fill your heart and your mind. What's this all about? Why, Lord? It's all right to ask God questions. It's not all right to question God. Amen? And so we try and find wisdom. We try and find the right road and the help. But he uses people to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, most of the chapter is about the church being a body. And the hand needs the arm. Amen? And the leg needs the foot. And we all work together. And he hath put us in the body, church, as it hath pleased him. This is the will of God. It's the will of God for us to be here. And so we're looking around, and I want to be a blessing to you. Amen? I want you to be a blessing to me. We both want that. And so when we get blessings from God, and we'll see this in a second, God said to Abraham, I will bless thee and make thee a blessing. That's how it goes. That's how it works. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If I ask for some volunteers today, to take this pulpit and put it in the back of my car, and I didn't get any volunteers, and I tried to do that myself, it wouldn't work. Amen? I know I look strong and healthy. You know, I would have a burden, wouldn't I? I couldn't do it. But if I got three other guys to help me carry this, we could do it. And we would lighten the load. We would share the load. And there's all kinds of ways to do that. Jesus said this, come unto me and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We understand what that is. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we go to the Lord, we have to do that. Really, you have to do that. To be spiritual, when the problem comes, don't run here, run there, get discouraged. Go to the Lord. He will help. He will help. And even sometimes when you go to the Lord, you're so down, you're so discouraged that it just doesn't seem to work for you. And God will send somebody to you. I believe that. Ye which are spiritual. Hosea 11:4. I drew them with the cords of a man with bands of love. I was to them as they that take off the yoke, and I laid meat before them. That's what God does. We come to the mercy seat, we get mercy. We come to the throne of grace, we get grace to help in time of need. Amen? Anytime we come to God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we go to God, and we get that strength, the wisdom, the direction, and then we take that and help somebody else. I pray for you. I pray for you. How can I be a blessing? I pray about the sermons. Well, how can I give something that's not going to put a heavy yoke on somebody, but something that is going to encourage them? I believe that's a necessity of a pastor. And you do things like, make me apple pies. And you homemade cookies all the time. I mean, we've got so many of them, I can't even eat them all. I'm kidding. Okay. Never mind. You didn't get that. I'm just going to leave that right there. Amen. Ye which are spiritual. You can't give something that you don't have. What is it? 2 Corinthians 1. The God of all comfort, who is able to comfort you in all your tribulation, so that you're able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith you yourselves are comforted of God. You get God's comfort, and then you give that comfort to somebody. Let me just say something. God knows you need somebody. And so he's speaking to somebody's heart to be a blessing to you. Maybe that's you. Amen? Sometimes we don't want to be involved. We don't want to take on a heavier burden. Oh, I got enough burdens. I got enough problems. You would be surprised sometimes how lighter your burdens get when you help somebody else. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And so fulfill the royal law. And Christ so loved the world that he gave himself. And by giving himself, he got the strength to help so many. Amen. Let me just move on here. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love, listen to the language, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And Isaiah 41:10. Boy, there's a great verse there about God reaching out his hand and lifting us up. It's a good verse to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said this, verse 28. By the way, before this verse, he's talking about a day and a night in the deep and being beaten with rods, being in dangers and perils of my own countrymen and perils of robbers and perils of this. And he talks about all the troubles he had. And then he comes to verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Because in a church, boy, there's a lot of burdens here. Amen? There's a lot of burdens here. The word burden comes from the Greek word baros, which means a weight. When you put those together, to bear a burden means to take away or carry off the weight someone else is experiencing. In essence, you're bringing some form of relief and comfort to someone else's challenging situation. I'm telling you, it's biblical. It's spiritual. We don't want to put burdens on people. We don't want to bring more burdens into their life. We want to help them. Sometimes you don't realize what to do to lift a burden, but I can tell you this, prayer is one. You can pray for people because prayer is real. The Bible talks about that. Pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The song, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And that helps you, and then you help other people. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another. It says, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. There's another one of those one another verses. Be kind. We can pray for people, but it's not just what we do. If you can do something outwardly, a phone call, a little note, amen? A smile, just a kind word. That kindness really helps people. It's so important. Be kind one to another. That means, kind means disposed to do good to others, assisting them in distress, having tenderness of goodness or goodness of nature, benevolent. And God is even kind to the unthankful. That's amazing, isn't it? But that's God, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I mentioned that we had a wonderful time on Tuesday night. We went to Papa Vino's and we had a dinner, and it was a blessing. But I want to share something with you. Tuesday afternoon, late afternoon, my wife and I, we had to put down our dog. And it was a rough week before that, and the night before, we hardly got any sleep. And it was a terrible way to go. He just got very sick. We went to the vet numerous times on Tuesday, trying to figure out what to do, and it just got worse and worse, and we had to put him to sleep. And that is a heartache for us, a genuine heartache. And we considered not even coming to the dinner. We considered that. But we thought, no, we need to do this. This will be a blessing, hopefully, to other people and to us. And when we got at the dinner, we didn't say anything to anybody unless somebody asked my wife how our dog was doing, then she probably was honest about it. But there were a lot of tears and a lot of heartache. But while we were there, it was such an uplifting time. The fellowship we had, it was a blessing, just a real blessing. And that was our circumstance, that was our situation. I had already had this thought and my message for today, but that's how it works. Amen. You don't even know what's going on in somebody else's life. I'm telling you, everybody here has a burden, several burdens, lots of burdens. And they need our prayers and they need our kind words. They need our love. Amen? Because that is such a blessing. So many people I think of. I think of John today. And John, man, isn't John a blessing? And he's on his way to North Carolina now, and Val and Pam, yeah. No, I was thinking another thought, but Val and their marriage and their life together, and to go through a trial like he's going through, they need our prayers, amen. They need our kindness, they need our love. That's what really changes somebody's life. Days are filled with sorrow and care. I think it was Pat who suggested this song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. And I have something I'd like to read. John Moore wrote that song. And days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary. This is what he wrote. I wrote, burdens are lifted at Calvary, after a most interesting experience. The company secretary of a large shipping firm telephoned the seaman's chapel and requested that I visit a young merchant seaman who was lying critically ill in a Glasgow hospital. After getting permission from the nursing sister, I went in to visit the young sailor. I found him glad to have another visitor and eager to hear what I had to say. I talked about general things for a few moments and then put my hand in my case for a tract, not knowing which one I would pull out. It happened to be the tract based on Pilgrim's Progress, with a color reproduction of Pilgrim coming to the cross with a great burden on his back. I showed the young seaman this picture and told him the story in brief, adding that Pilgrim's experience had been my experience too. The more I told him, the more anxious he became. I explained that when I came to the cross of Christ, my burdens rolled away, and my sense of sin and guilt before God was removed. By this time, the tears were running down his cheeks, and he nodded his head when I asked him, "Do you feel this burden on your heart today?" We prayed together, and never shall I forget the smile of peace and assurance that lit up his face as he said that his burden was lifted. Later that night, sitting by the fireside with paper and pen, I could not get the thought out of my mind, "His burden is lifted." I started writing with the words, and the words flowed to the paper. The tune was written the same sitting, but never for a moment did I imagine that this little hymn would become a favorite throughout the world. Since that time, I hear people from all over the world who are being blessed and saved through the singing of this hymn, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." Before he wrote the song, he did what the song said. He lifted a burden. We sing, and I'm as guilty as you might be sometimes. We have a hymn book, and if you read the stories of those hymn writers, those hymns were real to them. They meant something to them. They had experienced those things. And sometimes we sing them, and we kind of just get through the song, and our minds are wandering. But it's a blessing to sing those songs. Amen. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know who wrote that? A slave trader. I mean, you just read and sing these songs, but look at what he did. He went to somebody that had a burden. He lifted the burden through the Lord. Amen. And then he writes a song about it. We could sing all the time if we just lifted people's burdens. In Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah and a group of Jewish men and women and boys and girls, they're coming back to Jerusalem. The captivity is over. They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and the temple. And Nehemiah says this, or Judah said this, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." They are not able to build because their strength is gone. "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one." Amen? We have to get something from God. I'm comforted of God so I can comfort other people. God's been merciful to me so I can be merciful to others. You have to get something from God so that you can help somebody else. If we're not getting anything from God, we're really not interested in helping somebody in a spiritual way, because we need God's help to do that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In Galatians 6:1, I'll close with this. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be merciful, because one day you're going to need mercy. Amen? You're going to need help from somebody. Be forgiving, because one of these days you're going to need forgiveness. Be helpful, because other people will help you one day. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You're going to meet somebody today that's going to need a burden lifted. It doesn't mean they have to tell you what the burden is. Doesn't mean you have to read scripture to them. Doesn't mean you have to bow with them in prayer. Maybe it's just a kind word. Maybe it's just a smile. Amen? Maybe it's just, I don't know, you understand the message. We'll be dismissed here in a minute. We're going to have a fellowship time. And just be kind one to another. Just love one another with a pure heart fervently. That will lift somebody's spirits. I love to come to church. Amen? I've come to church when one or two people were mad at me. I've come. I had a circumstance in a church in Sturgis, a rather long. Oh, was that his wallet? You shouldn't have gave it back to him. Man, look at the opportunity you just had. Who cares if he would have been overwhelmed because he lost his wallet? That's the message, amen? But I there was a fellow in the church that was angry with me. And we had four sections of pews and big auditorium, and I would go to shake his hand and he would walk down another row. Do you remember that, Richard? Maybe you don't remember. I think it was you. Yeah. And boy, that's a hard thing. Amen? You want to come and, hi, how you doing? Praying for you, love you, you know? Here, get in front of me in the dessert line. I need to work on that. But just ask God to use you, because there's a lot of people out there that need you. Amen? And if there's nothing else you can do, and I don't mean this to minimize this, if there's nothing else but prayer, prayer is powerful. And it'll melt your heart for the person you're praying for. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. We're grateful, so grateful for the mercy and the grace you show to us. Forgiveness, you've forgiven us over and over and over and over. How many times should you forgive someone? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. Father, forgive them. I pray that you'd use us to be a blessing today, to pray, to minister, to smile, just to lift somebody's burdens. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.